Ask not what graphene can do for you. Ask what you can do for graphene. Hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. This here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, we are talking about that wonder material, graphene, today. My guest is Simon Thomas, CEO of Paragraph. Simon and I delve into the details of graphene's wonderment, how sticky tape played an important role in its creation, why Simon believes that graphene can revolutionize the electronics industry, and how Paragraph is bringing graphene from the lab into the real world. All right, let's get started. Hi, Simon. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Okay, so for my audience who may not know, what is Paragraph all about?
Well, there's a bit of a hint in the name, Paragraph, but Paragraph as a company is focused on the material graphene, and more specifically in graphene electronics devices. I'm sure as many of your listeners will undoubtedly know, for many years now, the carbon allotrope graphene has been coveted as the next step, great step forward in materials technology. It's pretty easy to see why. Graphene's achievements in the lab have been nothing short of astonishing, and now it's very widely published. You only have to go on Google, word graphene, and you can see millions, if not hundreds of millions of articles on graphene. In particular, of interest to Paragraph, a lot of those research activities have gone on to conclusively show that graphene has incredible potential in electronics applications. Actually, really, that's a little bit of an understatement. From the early test results, graphene actually promises to revolutionize electronics, hence all the excitement, investment, and development activity over the past 15 years. However, unfortunately, creating graphene in formats and at a scale required for mass manufacturing of electronic devices, as it turns out, is quite difficult. I guess we shouldn't really be too surprised at this. Creating a highly uniform layer of material only a single atom thick just sounds challenging, let alone actually doing it. Additionally, graphene, like most other electronics materials, has its own processing and handling. So utilizing graphene once we have it in device build is altogether complicated. And that's where Paragraph comes in. We developed a novel but electronics industry standard compatible approach to manufacturing graphene-based devices, from material production through to device build and all the way through to end product. Our methodologies have been specifically focused on the objective of plugging graphene into the existing solid-state electronic device manufacturing supply chain. Our mission really is to bring graphene from the lab into the real world, where its properties can be harnessed, either augmenting current semiconductor devices, but in many cases and in many applications, replacing incumbent semiconductors altogether. And that's what Paragraph's all about, really. It's a challenging goal, Amelia, but we do really love a challenge at Paragraph. And to date, we've shown graphene solid-state electronics can be manufactured. Our first products are on the market now, and we actually have the world's first scalable to large volume manufacturing graphene electronics products.
Wow. Okay, so Simon, here on Fish Fry, we've talked about graphene and the evolution of the electronics industry for several years now, but I didn't know that researchers used sticky tape to create the first graphene. Can you tell my audience a bit about the origins of graphene and how sticky tape played a role in its creation?
Yeah, it is quite a back-to-basic science story, I would say, actually. Nonetheless, an impressive one altogether. We've seen it many times in science. We find it's often the simplest solutions that deliver the greatest breakthroughs, particularly in the field of materials. Graphene and indeed other 2D materials or two-dimensional elemental configurations had been speculated for many decades, but the challenge of isolating them in the real world had been a very difficult one. When the guys at Manchester used the now very world-famous sticky tape method that you've just talked about to extract a single layer of carbon atoms from a block of graphite, everyone was like, wow, why hasn't someone thought of this before? But it's the truth. The extraction of graphene flakes from a block of carbon by repeatedly using scotch tape delivered the world's first reproducible way of isolating graphene, albeit in a small, what's now become known as flake format. And as simple as it sounds, it works. And it's still used by researchers today around the world, particularly on the academic research front. This breakthrough also came at a very fortuitous time as well, though. Lab equipment evolution at the same time meant that the ability to handle and manipulate very small pieces of material and build test devices from the material had just become available. So the doors really opened to many different new research options, particularly universities that weren't available only 10 years previously. Well, to be honest, take nothing away from what Professor Geim and Professor Novoselov did. Using these small flakes of graphene, they did some groundbreaking stuff. They proved the speculation and theories of graphene's properties and further demonstrated its extraordinary capabilities in the lab. In doing so, they launched a whole new wing of material science, a truly, truly wonderful achievement, and certainly worthy of the Nobel Prize that they both won. It's an inspirational story for young budding scientists and engineers as well out there. Look at what you can achieve with a well-thought-out hypothesis and a few simple tools, or, as was proved in Manchester, even a roll of Scotch tape and a pencil.
I love that. Now, Simon, I have heard graphene referred to as the wonder material that could revolutionize the industry. Do you agree with these statements? And if so, why?
Yeah, another good one. Well, I guess as the first real two-dimensional material to be controllably isolated in the real world, graphene is undoubtedly a wonder of science. As I just mentioned, its mere existence has opened up a whole new field of material science, that of two-dimensional materials, a field still in its infancy, but one which I'm sure will deliver many, many wonders in the coming years. But seriously, I do agree. I don't think there's any doubt that the tag wonder material can be applied to graphene. Many other superlatives have been thrown at it. Extraordinary, game-changing, world-beating are quite common and frequent amongst others. But if you just think and consider, graphene's electronic configuration makes it one of the most conductive materials in the world, significantly more so than copper. But at the same time, it's the most thermally conductive material ever made. These two things together are an extremely rare combination. So unlike conventional semiconductors, this makes graphene extremely attractive in electronic applications where thermal stability of electronic properties are important. For example, imagine if we could use graphene-based computing components in data centers. The global energy requirement reduction from not requiring the current amounts of cooling power for incumbent semiconductors could be immense. If you then add to this the fact that graphene is one of the strongest materials in the world, with tensile strength much greater than steel, yet it's incredibly flexible with sensational elasticity, we start to appreciate the extraordinary nature of graphene. However, it doesn't end there. The material, while being highly transparent due to its thickness as a single layer of atoms, still has a rather large ability to absorb white light at the same time. And this is not to mention its incredibly high breakdown voltage, its thermal shock resistance, and its radiation hardness. I mean, I could go on about the different properties of graphene. But really, in conclusion, there's never really been a material quite like graphene before, one that has so many excellent properties in a single pack. It means that graphene is highly attractive in a plethora of applications, whether that's in bulk materials and composites to improve wear resistance or strength, or electronic applications that can make use of its conductivity and thermal dissipation characteristics. I mean, even today, we're learning more and more about this extraordinary material. For example, like the so-called magic stacking angle, where you have multiple sheets of graphene that are positioned at specific angles, which promotes the occurrence of high-temperature superconductivity. The potential real-world impact of this could be truly astonishing as well. So, wonder material, I do think it's a suitable label.
I love it. Now, besides the industries you just mentioned, do you see graphene playing a role in other applications as well?
Yeah, well, absolutely, Amelia. I mean, in reality, graphene is already making some great strides in materials technologies. Using flake or nanoparticulate or suspended graphene that I highlighted before, recent developments in, for example, graphene-enhanced composites are providing higher strength, more thermally stable control surfaces, for example, for aerospace and automotive applications. And graphene-augmented coatings are providing harder-wearing, lower-resistant coverings for marine and consumer applications. I believe the mechanical and chemical properties of graphene will continue to yield vastly improved products in the very near term. This will be in widely diverse fields, from textiles to filtration, and widely diverse sectors, from sports gear through to civil engineering. However, for me, it's harnessing graphene's electrical properties where even more exciting and even more revolutionary achievements can be made. And we're just beginning to see this happen now. Early electronics devices applications have focused on sensing technologies where graphene can deliver massively improved responsivity. This has been demonstrated quite nicely by Paragraph in our first product, the graphene Hall sensor, or the GHS, as we fondly call the product range. But I believe this is just a precursor or step towards graphene being introduced into the general field of solid-state electronics. As I hinted earlier, there are already some incredibly impressive results from lab research that show what graphene can achieve in the electronics arena, such as superfast transistors and, only recently, the world's smallest transistor. The transformative impact that graphene can have on electronic devices as an active layer or conductive addition to existing structures could yield step changes in performance that we've never seen before. I see a huge role for graphene as the next generation, beyond semiconductor, if you like, electronics. But true meaningful application of graphene in electronics will only be realized once we have a material synthesis technique and subsequent processing capability for the material in those applications, as Paragraph is now pushing forward with.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about your graphene solutions. What sets Paragraph's graphene solutions apart from the rest of the pack?
Yeah, actually, it's really about our manufacturing technique. It's really the purity and the format of Paragraph graphene that makes it unique. Unlike other large area graphene manufacturing mechanisms, we don't need a metal catalyst to produce it, and we don't have to transfer our graphene to a desirable or usable substrate in order to use it in electronics applications. So not only is our graphene contamination free, but it's very cost effective. However, additionally, and very importantly for us, we have one other very, very useful USP, which is we're able to modify the properties of our graphene as we produce or as we make it. One thing we haven't touched on yet is the somewhat misleading use of the term graphene across the industry and material suppliers. The reality is that there are many different forms of graphene, some of which have widely varying properties from each other. And actually, in order to make full use of graphene's diverse characteristics in the many possible applications in which it could add value, it's important that the right type of graphene is used. And at Paragraph, as we develop our wide range of target products, it's our capability to tune the graphene layers to the desired application that gives us such an additional advantage. Whether this is modifying electromobility or carrier density or the transparency or the substrate it's produced on, or even the number of stacked independent layers we produce in a single manufacturing process, we have the capability to imbue the graphene with different properties during its manufacture. This means we've got graphene that's keenly focused on the target application and hence delivers devices and products with transformative performance characteristics.
So, Simon, where do you see the use of graphene headed in the future?
That's an interesting and probably very difficult question to answer. Not because it's unclear where graphene could be used, but because it has so many potential applications. Crystal ball gazing in such a potentially rich technology landscape, while an exciting prospect to do, is a particularly complicated one. Graphene will undoubtedly find its home where its unique characteristics deliver its greatest value. But although there's rich speculation in what graphene can do, it's really yet to be properly scoped out, and that will only really be achieved once we've got products into people's hands. What I can say, however, is the future with graphene is an exciting one, and I can see a few areas where graphene will probably deliver great advances over the next 10 years. I mean, firstly, and the holy grail of semiconductor chip companies when graphene was first realized is if we can get graphene into transistor logic. If that happens, it will never be the same again. All indications are that order of magnitude step change in computing power can be realized while significantly reducing power requirements of that technology. So higher performance with significantly more mobile technology would be readily realized through this breakthrough. However, I don't think we should forget about the first proof point of graphene in solid-state devices, as I alluded to before, which is sensors, of course. In this field, graphene offers a tantalizing future. Rapid point-of-care diagnostics, potentially even in the home, diagnosis of medical conditions could be within our reach. Imagine a world, and let's keep this real and up to date, where you can have a COVID test at home and have a result in under a minute. And then imagine using your mobile phone to simply log the data and communicate back to health services. We really could put ourselves in a situation where we're controlling viral spread very, very simply. Controlling viral transmission could become second nature to us in the future, and that's a real possibility. But this potential in medical biosensors or medtech is only really the start. What about detecting conditions very early in their onset, for example, sepsis or even cancer? All possible given graphene's extraordinary properties. I mean, from that perspective, millions of lives could be saved annually and the cost of the healthcare services dramatically reduced. But really for me, thinking further ahead, what's really exciting is about what graphene can do as a frontier material as it's now being described. You know, we've seen through Tesla and Elon Musk that the world is a rapidly changing place, and so is our place in it. We're currently going through the early days of our transition into a spacefaring race, which undoubtedly is a revolutionary step forward for humankind. But I actually believe graphene has a significant role to play in this future as well. The thermal and radiation resistance properties of graphene will, I think, make an important material in the future development of our extraterrestrial activities. I mean, I could go on, but I think what is safe to say is that graphene has the possibility to affect monumental change in the world and potentially off it, as I've just outlined. And will have a big influence on shaping the future. This is, of course, once it's been delivered in high-quality, usable formats, suitable for electronics manufacturing.
Fantastic. I love that. All right, Simon, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, lately I've been doing a COVID food question. So, Simon, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant is closed, you need a passport to get there, or if it's across your country, what would you have?
That's a great question. I think right now the meal could be anything. It could be anything from some nice Italian food through to some great Chinese food. But I think the most important thing for me would be to have that meal with friends. Not having the ability to go out at the moment and get together with family and friends is the most difficult part. So really, any type of food that I could eat in a nice location, in a nice setting with my friends and family would be great.
I agree. Well put, Simon. All right. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Simon. This was really interesting.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, Amelia.
So recently, I've been asked by some of my fish frying fans how they can further support my podcast. Well, the answer is easy. Just leave me a review on the podcasting platform of your choice and give it a whole bunch of stars. That really helps spread the word about Fish Fry, gets more people to listen, and will further support my podcast here at EE Journal. Speaking of EE Journal, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 5th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.